You're listening to This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul. Hey everyone, I'm Minnie Van Lee and this is This Nomad Life. And we have Paul here too.
Hi everybody. This is Paul, and we're glad that you're joining us today. We appreciate it very much. We're still in Quartzsite, Arizona, out in the desert. And I must say, nothing against Class A's, Class C's, and the like, but they're starting to leave.
Yes. Yes, they are. And the reason that we say that, but we're going to talk about the different types of rigs, only because they tend to take up a lot of space, and sometimes they tend to kind of move in on us little people.
Yeah. As they have for us.
They're here. A little bold. Yeah. But I do want to mention that I am Minnie Van Lee of YouTube Minnie Van Lee. And if you would be so kind as to go and find me, just search for Minnie Van Lee, and subscribe and watch some of my videos.
That would be very nice.
That would be awesome. So I'm having a good time here. I really am.
I am too. You've had a hard row to hoe with your trying to upload videos.
Oh, that has been really something, yes. But I drive into Parker now, and I go to Walmart.
And that takes you 40 minutes to drive in?
30.
Okay.
You know, I haul ass down the road. No. Unless you get behind somebody slow.
Yeah.
They do have a passing lane, but there's only two of them. One in the beginning when we go, one in the end. But yeah, I was going almost 80 down the road because everybody else was too. So yeah. Just doing what everybody else is doing. You
there
know.
You go.
But yeah, I did spend a couple hours there in Walmart. I was just walking around waiting for it to, looking at things. I always spend too much money when I do it.
And you were uploading a video while you were doing it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Uploading, yeah.
Very good.
We have new people coming in for the meetup in our little area.
And if you folks don't know what that is, Lee has a Facebook group, and the people in the Facebook group have been invited to a meetup here in the desert of Arizona.
Yes.
And that starts in, it'll start today. If you're listening to this on Friday, the 28th of January, starts today.
And what's the name of my Facebook group? Well, you're the you're a moderator, so it's your Facebook group too.
Well, I try to add
he's
to
off
it.
A clump
yes,
here.
I try to help out.
It's called Minnie Van Lee's This Nomad Life, and it's on Facebook.
Does that sound familiar? This Nomad Life.
I know. And we're getting when we get more self service, when this whole Quartzsite thing is over. We've got a website coming up. We're going to be working on websites.
That will be fun.
Yes.
That will be great.
Oh, people, please. You heard him say it. That will be fun. Okay? You heard it. Because I think he's going to be pulling out. Well, you're going to be pulling something. I'm not sure.
Be nice now. Be nice. You had to help me cut my hair yesterday.
I know,
You know, there's so much there that I couldn't do it myself.
Yeah, but have fun. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Well, here's another thing I want to let y'all know about. On one of the videos, I've had people over the past 2 years ask me, Lee, what's your dress? We want to send you something. And people normally do that for some of their favorite YouTube people. They want to send them gifts. And, I've never really had an address. And when I'm in Cincinnati or if I'm in Tucson, I really don't want to give out my children's addresses.
No, certainly not.
And I've never really had a P.O. box. Well, Paul has an address here in Quartzsite. So I let everybody know. And I said, this is what I would like because I want to get a DVD player because in certain areas I'm not getting streaming capabilities, and it would be nice just to get a portable DVD, which I used to have one. But so I said, you can send me movies, and I do like music for on the road when I can't get radio or I can't get my streaming of my Apple Music. Well, they're starting to come in. The movies are, people are sending me movies, and so far I've gotten quite a few. I did get some music CDs from Michael Smith, and everybody knows I'm a Christian, and that we're Christian, and DVDs are coming in, folks.
And it's very, very nice, because especially on the movies, I am handicapped when I talk to Lee, because she'll quite often, she is a movie buff, and she has seen, there aren't many movies she has not seen, I'll put it that way. And she'll say, oh, that reminds me of the movie about the thus and so and ABC whatever. And you saw that, right? And I'll say, no. So I'm very happy that we're getting some of these movies that I haven't seen at all.
Yes.
And with a DVD player, we can watch those.
I know.
Not have a problem with it, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Right. I don't know. Mm. They would have to have the capability for a speaker of some sort.
Mm. Paul needs that too.
Right, a speaker. But I think on the speaker that I have, it's Bluetooth, but it also has that I could put in.
Plug it in?
To plug it in, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
And one of them was Schindler's List.
Right.
And we were just talking about that you want to see it. Paul has not seen Schindler's List.
Yeah. There's a lot of movies that I have not seen, folks, and I'm going to get all caught up.
Wow.
We have a long way to go. But yeah. Hey, we've got time. We're nomads, and there are times in the evening, especially in the wintertime when it gets dark so early,
yeah,
that we can sit down and watch a movie and still get to bed on time.
Right.
That's very important.
So I bet today just alone I picked up probably 20 new movies.
That's amazing.
I know. So, yeah, we've got people that are starting to come in already. And I don't know how many will be here. I'm going to guess that probably we'll have a group of maybe 25. I don't think it's going to be too much more than that. I really don't.
That's kind of the number that I have in my mind.
Me too. Yeah, but 25 already. But we've had some and they're leaving already because that's a nomad life. They get itchy and they want to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But we've met some wonderful people here, haven't we?
We have.
Oh, my gosh.
It's really nice to get to know other people who have, we all have something in common.
Right.
The most of the people that have been here are either full-time nomads and have been, or they're just starting out and they're trying to learn.
Right. It's been fun. And then at night, what about at night? What do you do every night at 6 o'clock?
At 6 o'clock, I light the campfire.
Yay.
Yeah, and that has been a joy. It's really helped to get us to know one another. I think the most we've had around the campfire so far, and just a few people, extra people, are here early, I'll put it that way. And I think we had 13 one night, which is great.
Right.
Great exactly. Conversation, getting to know, you know, where are you from? What did you do in a former life? And It's been yeah, a real joy to get to know a lot of people.
So how do you build your fire, Paul?
Well, I either do the standard teepee fire, okay, organization or a lean-to.
Okay.
That is usually determined by if we have a partially burned log from the night before,
right,
from the campfire the night before.
Is there one now? Or did that burn all the way down?
No, it all burned down.
Oh, wow.
That was a hot fire.
That was a big, somebody brought in this big log, like a big lump of wood.
And I couldn't believe that whole thing burned up.
Wow.
So,
maybe
yeah,
it
was
night.
Gone.
Went all night, maybe.
Right,
yeah,
right. But I can also lay down a fresh log and do a lean-to fire, okay, on top of that.
Yeah.
But the neat thing also is that Lee has made fire starters. You want to tell them how you do that?
Well, basically, I had milkshake straws, which are fatter.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while to actually find those, but I did, and I still have a few. And then what you do is you cut them in half, and you kind of burn the bottom, and then you crimp it with a needle-nose pliers. And then you just get a whole bunch of cotton balls and just strip it and put Vaseline in it, and then you can use like a skewer if you have like you know, skewers for meat or right. for the, and you just stick them, you just shove it in there, and then you burn and crimp the other end, and you just carry. I carry them with me. I make a whole bunch assembly line. I make them, and then I carry them around. And I some of them I divided them up and gave some to you. And
yeah.
I think you have them all. We probably should do more.
Probably.
They're just so easy. It's like you just light this thing.
And yeah. you might think, oh my gosh, they're burning plastic, that plastic straw. Well, it's only a short section. What do you think?
Yeah.
Three, four inches long, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
And
it's no big whoop.
You don't, yeah. there's no ugly smell or fumes or anything to speak of. But they burn really, really well and gets
yeah.
that fire going.
And they burn long enough for it to get a chance to, whatever it is, to start the fire.
Well, and that's another thing. Since we've been here this year, we have used juniper wood for the fires. And that juniper, it has a bark on it that is, what should I call it? It looks like shredded wheat or something.
It's almost like hairy.
Yeah.
It's sort of, you can pull it and it's hair.
And it either makes a wonderful fire starter.
Yeah.
Or if you just put that log on there with the bark side against the existing fire, it goes up in no time. It's
yeah.
great.
So the campfire's really been a lot of fun.
Really has.
And you've done a good job. One gal took over one time. That was kind of a low fire, wasn't it? That
mm-hmm.
you did. And
mm-hmm.
then like you might want to at one point go, might want to put more wood on there. She goes, oh, do you think? Because it was like this little teeny weeny weeny little fire. Like,
well, you never know exactly how much wood, you know, when it gets to be 8 o'clock or something. You never
right.
know how much more wood,
right.
how much longer people are going
yes.
to want to be up before they hit the hay.
Well, here's our dilemma, folks. Okay. We know that there's a lot of people coming, so we made a bigger fire pit. Well, there's this little fire in the middle of it's like a ring of a circus. There's this little fire in there, and we got this big ring. So people have to almost to get warm, they have to step into it. So let's talk about this dilemma in a minute, but first let's go to a commercial break, shall
All
we?
All right, that sounds good.
Okay. Have I got a book for you? Thinking about the nomad life? Do you know someone who is thinking about starting the nomad lifestyle? Are you tired of looking out the same windows, the same landscape, the same neighbors? The nomad lifestyle is growing large. Well, I wrote a book, How to Live in a Minivan, the Minivan Leeway. I included all the information you need to move from a house to a vehicle. So you can travel and meet new people. Oh, the freedom of this. You can find this book on Amazon. Search for Minivan Lee on Amazon. My book will come up. It's an ebook and it's a paperback. And it has lots of lists to get you started from A to Z all the way into your minivan and beyond. I'll also help you stay organized in your first year as a nomad. I'll show you the ropes, where to park, and how to spend your days. And I've got lots of lists to get you started. So go to Amazon and search for Minivan Lee. Now this isn't just for minivans. This book is useful for SUVs, RVs, high tops, vans, build outs. Yes, this book will help you get started. Now let's get back to this nomad life with Lee and Paul and their fascinating program. We're back, and let's get back to that dilemma with the campfire. Okay, so we've got this big fire pit with rocks around it. So what, people just kind of step over at this point to get to the...
Well, someone put a comment on your Facebook
yes.
Site and said, well, how do you guys roast a marshmallow with that huge fire ring and such a small fire? Well, it's very easy. You step over the rock border
yes.
and put your roasting fork
right.
into the fire. Not a problem at all. The people behind you don't like it much because you're blocking the warmth from getting to them. But,
right,
well. Oh, well, that happens, you know. So we make it work.
Well, isn't the fire sort of like it's a visual, too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The way
that I mean, if you're so cold, go put a jacket on or
yeah.
something, you know.
Yeah, the way that a fire can just mesmerize you.
Right.
You just stare at it. It's
right.
just soothing and relaxing and... I love a good fire.
I think that if we didn't put the rocks outward, people were still going to butt up against the rocks. And then how can you have a bunch of people?
Right.
You'd be constantly going, okay, everybody, move back. Yeah, and this way we're kind of sort of like, we have to move back because the rocks are... It's a bigger circle.
Sure.
Okay.
And to have two rows of people, that's not fair to the people in the back.
You can't know, have two not... rows. I never heard of a campfire
no,
with two rows.
Can't
I was
that.
At the campfire. I was in row two.
I can't tell you how warm
second,
it was. But
couldn't even see the fire, you know. Somebody tall was in front of me, you know.
Right. Well, Lee, what were you going to say about the different kinds of rigs?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were at the big tent, ooh, and they also had the RV show. So we went in, we did some filming, we went in and we were looking at different types of rigs and just sort of played, well, I don't know what you were doing, but you know, I'm a little kid, so I'm pretending, okay, like what would I like this one, would I like that one? And so, yeah, we got the Class A. The Class B, they didn't have any Class Bs there. Mm-hmm. But then they have the Class C. Now you've got the regular trailers, and then you got the fifth wheels.
Mm-hmm. Now, folks, for those of you that don't know, a Class A, I guess you could call it a bus. You know, it's a huge rig, and it's kind of like a bus, only, you know, it's much fancier, has different windows and different paint job and all that good kind of stuff.
Sure.
And a Class C... Well, go back a step. A Class B is a van of some sort, right?
Right, but it is it's a build out that is manufactured that way.
Right.
Nobody, it wasn't like Bob Wells where he got some wood and built a bed. No, it was manufactured as an RV with a bathroom in it and everything else.
And even a shower
and
kitchen and a microwave and all that good stuff.
Right.
And then a Class C, how do we best describe that?
There's that cab over, it's a bed, and it goes over the cab.
The cab,
right,
yeah.
With the driver's seat, and that's a Class C.
Right. So there's all kinds of different rigs out here. But
there's all sizes, too. Some Cs actually have pull-outs,
right.
Slide-outs.
Yeah.
We know the A's do, but... Do all A's have the sliders now?
Anything that is recently made, I sure think so.
Okay, yeah.
People got spoiled having that extra room on the inside.
Right.
The only problem with those slide-outs, as I understand it, is that when it's time to travel and you have to bring those in to retract them, get them out of the way so you can run down the road, then on the inside, sometimes the two sides touch. And it's hard to get through your rig. If you need to get something in the back, whether that's in the bedroom or whatever, you've got to crawl over a bunch of stuff, and it's not real easy when the slides are in.
Well, we met a gal, Rhonda, last night, and she had a Class C with a slider. And she said she picked that one specifically because you could get through, and it was in when it was slid in.
All
so
right.
that, yeah. But she it would only slid on one side.
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. But it was big, you know.
I didn't go through it.
Right.
She had mentioned earlier that she had her laundry hanging everywhere and drying, and I thought, no, she probably doesn't want me.
Well, it was fine, and there was some laundry. What she did was she went to the laundromat, Main Street Laundromat, very popular. She went late, and they kind of asked her that she had to hurry it up because they were going to close.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why she couldn't dry it. Otherwise, yeah. Mm. But, yeah, so if I was solo and going to look at something like that, as I am, I would probably, if I was going to go, I would go Class C. I like that little cab over thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't use it for a bedroom, but I would.
Well, it makes great storage, too.
Hers was different, though. You know, like over it. It was cut out. You couldn't use it as a bedroom. It was cut around too much.
Hmm.
She had things shoved and little things shoved and then big things that was cut out too far in the middle.
I guess I haven't seen one quite like that.
Yeah, but I would like that. I would make that my bedroom. My bed. That's what I would use for my bed. Because I don't need, obviously, that much space anyways. I'm in a minivan.
The only problem I'd have with that is, being a older fellow, I quite often, not quite often, I always have to get up in the middle of the night to relieve myself. And I think on some of
those... You mean you got to go pee?
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Okay.
All godchildren's got to pee.
Yeah.
And don't you have to climb up and down a ladder on of those?
Sure, but...
Well, I wouldn't want to do that when I'm half asleep, I don't think.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind it at all.
Okay.
I mean, I'm very agile. I would climb. I would do it. Little monkey.
Just scurry right up there.
That's right. Yeah. But I normally don't have to go pee at night. I told my bladder to calm down, and it has. I'm the captain. Right. My body's the soldier. It does what I tell it to do.
I'm trying to be a good boy, and out here in the desert, it dries you out. My lips, I'm constantly applying balm to my lips because I can feel how dry they are. And you've got to drink your water. You've got to keep yourself hydrated, or you're going to have a problem. And that water... part of it has to go somewhere, so it all works out that way.
So what would you have if you had the choice?
Oh,
between
all,
there's five of them.
Oh, Class B, no question.
Oh, you would go with the trailer.
Yeah.
No, the van.
The van.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
I love this van. It's not a build. It's not fancy. But I have everything I need here. I know where everything is. Pretty much.
Yeah, but you're talking about it's got bathrooms. It's not the same as this. You got bathrooms in there.
Well, I wonder if you could order it without a bathroom.
I don't think so.
I think
you probably just, you want to do the Bob Wells thing. You wouldn't want any of them. But if you had the choice of five, what would you would still take the B.
Yep.
Okay, so it's got a shower and a bath.
Well,
you might got bathroom and shower the same thing.
Right. But they're so much easier to park. I mean, one of those Class A's, what are they, 35 to 40 feet long, I suppose? That's a lot of vehicle to try to put somewhere if you want to park it. I mean, it's tough. We were talking to neighbors across the way. We were talking with Kevin. Hey, Kevin. And he used to have a Class A.
Okay.
And he hauled his Jeep behind it. And he said it was 55 feet long. Can you imagine having to find a place to park some kind of a rig like that? So I wouldn't want to fool.
And you would go to Cracker Barrel, but even with the car, it might be too long.
Yeah, or if those diagonal spaces for RVs and buses and so forth, if they fill up, then you've got to then you have to take 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 parking places away from vans and regular cars.
Which always tends to tick us off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because we're people too. Yeah. We have needs too.
Absolutely.
But, it would be fun. You know, I thought about maybe renting one. That would be fun for us to rent one, but they're so expensive.
And how much did you, for instance?
I think just for a weekend it was like $1,500.
Wow.
Yeah. For the week, it was like almost 3-4.
That's a little steep, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So there's something for everybody. Everybody has different wants and needs and all the different types of rigs. They can find what they need.
Right.
Well, don't you think it might be time to take another short break, Lee?
Yeah, and don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Let me help you get started in the nomad lifestyle. Go to youtube.com and search for Minivan Lee. That's L-E-E, Lee. I feature over 400 videos about nomad life. There are instruction videos, travel videos, entertaining videos. I will teach you how to live in your minivan, your SUV, or van high top successfully in style. I share ideas and gadgets, including a really great solar setup to keep all your gadgets powered up throughout your travels. It's a great life full time. It's also great for using your minivan as a camper for vacations. Go to youtube.com and search for Minivan Lee. That's L-E-E, Minivan Lee. please subscribe and ring the bell for notifications. You are really going to enjoy all the videos. They're fun and entertaining, as well as instructional. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey, welcome back. Hey, let's talk fifth wheel. Those are fascinating to me, a fifth wheel. What do you know about fifth wheels, honey?
Well, I've never had one, and I'm sure I never will. It's not my cup of tea, but a fifth wheel, you have to have a tow vehicle. You have to have something in front to pull that thing along. Usually, that's a pickup truck. And we have seen some out here, folks, that have an actual semi pulling the fifth wheel. And I don't know if those are retired truck drivers.
I'm sure they would almost have to be.
Yeah.
They bought their truck. Bought the semi.
They could have been an owner-operator and just kept their truck when they retired and use it for that. But normally, more often than not, you use a pickup, and you have to put this large metal hitch plate. I don't know the technical word for it, but it is much like what you'd find on a semi-tractor, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Same kind of thing. Just as you've seen on a semi going down the road, it has that big round plate in the back, and that is where a big metal piece of the item you're towing locks into that, and you're good to go. It appears to me, I've never really chatted with someone with a fifth wheel, but if you're in a pickup truck and you have a back window, you can probably see that plate with the channel where that piece from the fifth wheel trailer itself has to go. And I would think it'd be very easy to guide that in and lock it into place. You're good to go.
Yeah.
As far as I know. I mean, there's a lot. You got to hook up the brake wiring and all of that kind of thing. But it seems like it'd be easy to me. But I may not be correct.
I wonder which would be easier to navigate, a trailer that you pull like behind a Suburban or a fifth wheel that you pull that's actually locked inside the truck.
Since that thing is locked in to a rather confining space, the hitch, I would think you'd have less pulling and shaking and, you know,
kind of
chattering back
too.
And forth that you would have on a trailer.
Right.
I'm not sure. Good question.
Yeah. But the one thing I like about the fifth wheel is they got, because it goes, there's like a cab that goes over and then it comes down into, so it really, like, it's almost like sort of like a Class C that there's like, I think what we saw, there was a bedroom up there.
Yeah, it was amazing.
I know.
Bedroom and a bathroom, I think. Small bathroom.
Right.
But, they try to make good use of every inch of space in those things, and it's amazing what they pack in there. But I'll be quite honest, Lee, I don't think they're the best constructed things in the world.
Oh, no.
They're not built like a home. They're not built like a sticks and bricks house. They have to use lighter materials. And sometimes those lighter materials, you know, you got to remember that's going to be pulled down the highway and go over bumps and railroad tracks and whatever. And that stuff is always shaking and moving. So put together the fact that the materials are not maybe as thick and strong as you'd find in a house versus all the moving that it does. And you could have problems. You will have problems.
Now, do you think they're made, like the shell of it, do you think they're made less sturdy than like your Ram ProMaster?
No, I would assume that they're well insulated and have a nice heavy skin on them, if you will.
I
would
that
think.
Skin. Give me some skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, the wood pieces that we saw, you know, were more like a 1.5 by 3 or 1.5 by 2 piece of wood instead of a full-size 2x4, that kind of thing.
Now we're looking out here at this little row over here to the north of, or to the side of us. Now these are trailers over here. Yeah. No, wait a minute. Yeah, well, there's a trailer right there.
And there is, I think, the one on the left, that titanium, I believe that's a fifth wheel.
Yeah, and I see another fifth wheel, yeah. Yeah. They got the slide outs, yeah. And
since it has been so packed with RVers and other campers in Quartzsite and around Quartzsite, you can see every kind of imaginable rig. It's amazing. I mean, they're all here, from a tent to a $250,000 Class A. It's just, you want to go to a dealer, well, all you have to do is drive around the desert and you can see at least the outside of about anything that you might be interested in.
Right. Well, let's, and then of course you got the trailers. It's going to be the same. It's not a fifth wheel. They're just, you pull those behind something that can tow, a big enough engine, and then it's just got the hitch, and you still have to hook up all the lights. And
just the regular ball hitch.
Well, since we're talking about rigs, let's talk about other rigs. I mean, on down, you know. Our group, we have a lot of minivans, of course, you know, the minivans, and we've been looking at some of the build-outs and how people have...
And you've done a couple of tours.
Well, yeah, no, actually, I only did the one so far, but and it's going to be, well, it was made public yesterday, so please go see it. It's about Grandma. She designed this. Grandma designed her own, and it is, I'm not kidding, it's amazing. I was just like, my jaw was dropping, like, this is incredible. How did I get so lucky to do this one? Mm. Yeah, it was really, so you're going to enjoy it, yeah. But we have no build outs. We've got all kinds of things going on with minivans. And we have, well, Jackie, hey, and shout out to Jackie. And she has a, what is it? What do you call it, a Ranger? Or a, it's smaller than a minivan.
Right.
Yeah.
What is it? Oh, I can't think of the model.
I know. It almost seems like a Ranger or a little Ranger or something. So she's actually sleeping. She keeps the back hatch open so her feet can stretch. I know.
And it's been in the 40s, the low 40s
she
at night.
She is
here.
Really. So I'm telling you, Jackie, she is personality plus. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So then we've got the high top.
Mm-hmm.
Got a high top. Your high top also.
Yeah. And then a regular cargo van that doesn't have a high top. But it,
who, which one, who's that?
Oh, you're just talking about what we have here.
Oh,
in our
yeah,
group?
Just yeah, what we have in our group. But okay, yeah, you're right. Let's talk about what else there is.
Well, a cargo van, of course, doesn't have seats in the back that you would have in a passenger van. It's just wide open. My ProMaster was a cargo van. It was used for cargo.
Right.
It was used as a parts runner vehicle for a auto dealership. But then, let's see, what else?
Well, if they're not a cargo van and they're a passenger van, they just take the seats out.
Exactly.
You take the seats out. What do people normally, what have you found people do with the seats once they take them out?
More often than not, nobody else wants them. They wind up going to the dump.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of people, they want to get on the road. They don't have time, and they've already ditched their house, bricks and sticks, so they don't have a garage to keep it in. But I've heard of some people actually keeping in the garage and then eventually they sell them. But most people, they just want to get on the road. Okay, I'm taking this to the dump.
Yeah.
And get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So most people take their seats out.
I do believe so.
And I actually, if you didn't know, I have all my seats out, even the passenger seat. And I only have the driver's seat in there. So, but it does keep my airbag light on at all times. That is on all the time because it was unhooked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can't do that, right, without a light going on.
Well, yeah, and I'm getting used to it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's telling me airbag.
All it takes is a heavy piece of duct tape placed on your dash over that light, and your problem is solved.
No, because it would cover up the other lights that's there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to miss any other lights.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's tell about the schoolies. What's the skinny on the schoolies?
Oh,
we didn't cover
those. Yeah. An old remodeled school bus. there are some very extravagant school bus conversions out there.
And they're usually painted like all crazy.
Oh, yeah.
On the outside. Yeah.
I was talking to a friend this morning, and she said that she stopped at the Schoolypalooza. It's a gathering, as you might have gathered, of school bus people. And she said it was like hippie nation.
It was.
So.
Well, let's go to commercial break. I want to hear more about the schoolies.
All right.
Okay, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Minivan Lee, stickers and magnets. Oh, yeah. For your rig or your refrigerator. Nomads love to put their favorite Nomad stickers on magnets on their rigs. So I'm happy to tell you, I have them ready for shipping. Go to minivanlee.com or minivan-lee.com to order your stickers and magnets. I ship them myself, and I include a personalized note just for you. Nomad YouTubers sell their stickers to their own followers as a way to support their video time and travel expenses. I so appreciate your support, everyone. Look around my website while you're there, too. You can access my Amazon storefront. Now, let's get back to the fascinating episode of This Nomad Life with Lee and Paul.
So tell us about the schoolies. But there was some controversy going on, a little bit of gossip and drama going on with the schoolies here.
You mean as far as being kicked out of their campground?
They were kicked out. Why? Why? Why were they kicked out?
Well, for one thing, first thing I have to think of, they were across the Colorado River in California. And California sometimes has more strict rules about things. I understand.
About what?
Well, when they were down, right now, while they're down in Ehrenberg, again, my friend said they had tables set up and they were selling homemade bracelets and necklaces.
Okay, yeah.
And you're not supposed to do that on BLM land unless you have a permit.
Right.
And I bet they didn't, and there was too much of that going on. So I don't know. I don't know the whole story for sure, so I'm not going to... I shouldn't even venture a guess.
Yeah, but they did get kicked out. That was a big thing. Everybody go, hey, did you hear about the school? Yeah, we all heard. Did you hear about the schools you can get? Yep, we heard.
Yeah.
It was a big to-do.
And they talked about having 300 bus conversions there. And they all went from, where was it, up by Parker or Lake Havasu, only on the California side.
Right.
And they had to move, what would it have been? 75, 80 miles down to Ehrenberg, Arizona.
Okay,
I can't imagine that caravan. Wow.
I have heard that schoolies do get probably the most discriminated against. But RVs don't want them. RV parks don't want them. I mean...
Well, is that because of the homemade paint jobs?
Right.
A lot of them
I think so. But they're really cool. Schoolies seem cool to me.
Yeah.
Well,
just imagine, you could go crazy with the decorating. I mean, there's so much room in there. I mean, as far as window treatments,
right,
and how you're going to build it out, if you're going to do a build. And I would think in a bus, more often than not, you do build it out.
Well, yeah, and I've seen some van tours or bus tours, and my goodness, extravagantly gorgeous. I mean, big kitchens areas, and I actually saw online this one family. They had two small children. They had little areas, but it was gorgeous. It blew my mind seeing, what they did with it. So, but I've seen them so discriminated against in like RV parks and here and there. Well, and then you hear them getting kicked out. It's like, wow. Yeah.
Well, talking about RV parks, I don't know if it's because they're trying to keep up appearances or what, but there are RV parks that have an age limit on any kind of rig. I don't care if it's Class A, B, C, or D.
Yeah.
If it's more than 15 or 20 years old, they won't let you in.
Where do old RVs go when they die? My goodness.
Huh.
It's like to the RV graveyard.
Yeah.
What they just get crushed and...
I imagine.
They
and they
crush
try
them.
To
oh my gosh.
Sell any metal they can salvage out of it.
Oh my goodness. Because you know they don't last very long.
But, Lee, you know that we, in our travels, we've seen some that we couldn't believe were not
the
in the junkyard falling apart.
And he had a taint. He had this whole thing. Oh, my gosh. We have a gal that we haven't seen yet. She has this little trailer. Let's talk about these little trailers that you pull. We got the Scamp, right? There's a Scamp, and there's two different sizes of the Scamp. You got big Scamp, little Scamp. Those are actually pretty cool.
Well, that one that I saw in the Walmart parking lot a few days ago, it has the rear hatch that opens up to give you a little bit of cover from the sun or rain.
Right.
And there's your kitchen. Did you see
that? Right.
There
yes,
was a
I saw
sink.
That.
I can't remember what
well,
the model.
Well, who wants to go outside and cook all the time? I mean,
campers.
Yeah, but what if it's raining?
Well,
I know it. See, that just
you're going to
really,
get wet. Yeah.
Well, of course it's going to get wet. What if the
but
wind is blowing in?
People that camp in tents have canopies and things that they set up in case the weather gets bad. So
it's just, no, I would want, if I was going to do that, I'd want everything inside.
Well, so they're so small, though. You can't.
Well, a Scamp, I've been inside a Scamp. They're pretty, I mean, there's a bed in there and there's a kitchen and everything.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was even a small Scamp.
I think the gal that you're speaking of.
Right, no, that
group,
is not a Scamp. What in the heck is that?
That is a, I think the name was Runaway or Runway.
Runaway, or was it?
Yeah, yeah.
You couldn't stand up in it. It was really only as big as maybe the inside of my van. But it
right.
was, she had a minivan and she was pulling, was it a minivan?
Yep.
And she was pulling this, I can't wait to see it.
Wow.
She said she didn't feel good and she just wasn't sure, so she's had trauma here. We won't go into it, but in another camp, and she finally found us, and she's kind of trying to relax.
Goodness.
But I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
But there's all kinds of these little trailers. Now you also have the vintage trailers. You got either the Can-Am or the Teardrop. I mean, it's just, you see everything out here.
Absolutely.
But the ones, I will say, in my humble opinion, the ones who get exactly what they want when they want it are the Class A's and the fifth wheels.
Yeah.
They go where they want, they do what they want, and if we don't like it, oh well.
Yeah.
They go where they want.
Yeah.
And there's not much we can do about it.
We've had
yeah.
We're trying to save space here for the meetup that we have starting today. And it was tough. We were getting encroached on from all sides. And we noticed that a lot of times groups want to stay together. Some of the group people put down caution tape or police line, do not cross tape,
right.
whatever,
yeah.
to mark off the area that they were trying to keep. So we did the same thing. And we got a Class A down here, two of them, that just took the tape and the stakes that we had the tape in with and pulled them out and drove right where we had it marked.
Right.
And it's like, hello?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I wouldn't have done that.
But come on, honey. These were the second people that said, well, we've been coming here for 12 years and we always park in the same spot.
Yada, yada, yada.
But this is BLM land and this really belongs to everybody.
Absolutely.
In this first, yeah.
I pay taxes just
like
that.
Yeah, I know you might think, well, don't be putting, it doesn't belong to you either. But yeah, I mean, but I think we're doing okay. Some of them are leaving now. Yeah, so that's cool.
The big extravagant shows in Quartzsite, the big tent for one, which is actually the vacation RV and something show, is it's running right now, but it's now in its fifth day, I think.
Yeah.
And it's only going to run three or four more days through Sunday, I guess, a couple more days. And then when that's over, I think a lot of this stuff will clear up and we'll have much more room to spread out and enjoy our peace and quiet.
Yeah, and if you have if you're listening and you have a Class A, but not everybody is, but you get a group of them together and they become like this group mentality. And they're like, whoa, hey, force in numbers and they kind of. But now Max, our friend Max, was saying, that he actually got booted out by a bunch of Class A's. No, he had a friend who did it, and that this happened to him. He had a tent, and he was just trying to camp out here, which is fine. This is BLM land. You can do whatever you want. But he woke up the next morning, and there were a whole bunch of Class A's, and they were like, they parked like a couple feet from him.
Well, you have and to he remember had to move, that, and he had that to a move. Lot of these rigs are accustomed to parking in campgrounds, whether it's a state park, national park,
right,
RV park, where you have, I don't know, 25 feet
right.
of space, and maybe it goes 30 feet back or something,
right.
and there's just one after another, after another, after another. Well, we're accustomed to being out here in the desert where it's not anything goes. But as far as spaces go, the big argument out here is how close should you park to your neighbor? And in our estimation, 100 feet. I don't know. I haven't measured it off, but I would be nervous if somebody came in 100 feet from us. There's acres and acres and acres of land. Why not utilize it?
Well, they knew what they were doing when you just park right next to this little tent, you know, this tent. I mean,
but my point is, if they're used to an RV park, they're thinking, oh my gosh, we're 100 feet from that guy, not 25. They think that's great. Well, it's not in my mind.
There's a nomad etiquette, and we all talk about it. It's nomad, there's faux pas going on. Yeah. So, but all in all, to wrap up this little discussion of all of this, there's 2 weeks in Quartzsite where everybody descends on it. We came early, we're going to stay late, but it's a 2-week time during the big tent and building up to it where we all have to grin and bear it, don't we?
Yep, we do.
We just have to grin and bear it. Yeah.
It's bedlam.
Yeah.
You go downtown and you have there are 4, 5, 6 vehicles in front of you at a stoplight. That's unheard of in Quartzsite, except for
right.
those 2 weeks
right.
where everybody wants to be here and go to the shows and all this stuff. So we're about at the end of that period,
yes.
and I'm happy about it.
Well, I want to thank you all for listening to our program. And, Paul, you go ahead and wrap it up here.
All right. Well, thank you, folks. Appreciate you listening. And we would like a little cheese with the whining that we did, perhaps, a little bit.
I think it was just, we were, it's a discussion of what's going on out here.
Because
this is reality of what's going on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, folks. And I haven't reminded you of something in a few weeks. And I just want to be sure that you be cool.